In the name of Jesus, amen. Be seated. The text that forms the basis for our meditation on Reformation Sunday is Psalm 46. We know that that's the psalm where Luther was inspired to write almost the church's national anthem, if you will, "A Mighty Fortress is Our God." The psalmist, like we, cry out today, "God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in time of trouble. God is our safe place." Like an unwed mother, a safe place where an abused man or woman can go. A safe place where an unwanted child can be deposited and taken care of. A safe place where our friends in Northern California are looking for now during the fires. Where is your safe place? The psalmist leaves no doubt about it. God is our refuge and our strength. This psalm teaches us that God is with us, a place we can go to of safety, especially in contrast to earthly troubles, both within and without. God is with us. There's that "us" language in the Psalms. Literally, He's with the church. It's a dative of advantage. God is with us for our advantage. It's a theme that reverberates throughout the entire psalm. And these words, refuge and strength and tower and fortress, are very real. During the time of the Assyrians, before and after, to have a city with a wall around us, that's a pretty big deal. During their time and even now, these are important images. Images that God gives to us. Not only that, but to know from His Word that He is present, that He is a help, that He is the one you can go to, the only one in time of trouble. He is always with us. He is always for us. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in time of trouble. It's a creedal statement of the Christian. What does it mean that God is present? Just as He says, He is the safe one. He is the strong one. He is the one to be counted on. He is the one where faith goes to. He is the one who hears when we cry out. Therefore, there's that "we" language again. Therefore, we will not be afraid. Afraid of, we have nothing to fear. Oh, the mountains, they're always there. The sea, it's always calm. It doesn't roar. The earth doesn't tremble. Well, the psalmist brings up these things that we usually can count on. Things that we know for certain they never change. But they do change. Nothing is certain here. This is the contrast that is set up in the entire psalm. Everything that we can count on, everything, falls apart. It moves, it shakes, it melts, it changes. Even for Lutherans who don't like change. This is the psalm And this is the God that you count on to trust when everything goes topsy-turvy, upside down, when waters are bad. It's that language of chaos and descent and tumultuous and dark and murky. When the mountains that should last forever don't. Even here in Southern California, we know more so than the rest of the world. When the earth quakes and it moves under our feet, there's uncertainty, there's smallness. We know about those things. But then verse 5 brings out this contrast. But there is a river whose streams shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. There is a river before bad waters churning chaos. But now there are streams flowing, good water. And for what purpose? To make God's people glad. Our shepherd leads us beside those still waters, those waters promised in your baptism, those waters promised from the blood and the water that spilled out of Christ's side into his word, into your mouths and his supper, to give faith, nourishment, to strengthen, to remind you of the washing, to remind you God is in your midst, to remind you that he's in his holy place where he's always promised to be. The psalmist draws on Eden language here. The current world, it's chaos. It's not okay. But there once was a world that used to be, and there is another that is yet to come, and now is, a city where the river of God, the gospel, those sweet words from Jesus, where we're gathered into the presence of God, where God flows into us, where his Spirit grasps our faith and says, listen to no other except your Savior, the Lord and giver of life. And now we get to the reason why. And this is where the incarnational language, where God present with us, really kicks into high gear. God is in the midst of her. She, the church, Christ's bride. Therefore, and only on because of him, she will not fall in her faith. She will not shake at her sins. She will not melt at the temptations of the evil one, and she will not worry nor falter because God is with her to help at just the break of day. And there is Easter for us. The crucified one, the resurrected one, the ascended one, the one who breathes life into us, that word of life that Peter says, Lord, you have the words of life. There's our Easter every day. There's our sins forgiven. There's our old Adam put back into the grave. There's where the new man in Christ who lives by faith rises because Christ is with her. And now we're at the contrast of the psalm. Of what was once before, now God is dwelling with us. Behold, the Lord of hosts is with us, with his church, with his Zion. Where is this place? Where is God? Well, God's where his people are, where his word is given, where they're gathered in the Father's house, where they need a washing, where they need to be clean. Where is God? Where he's promised to be with Christ's word, so we could hear once again, sins forgiven, peace with God. With God, us, the church. In the city of God, that's the Old Testament church, and it's the New Testament church that also looks to the second coming of Christ with eager anticipation. This is both a reality that's present with us now, but also a future looking as well. Because now the nations are raging against Christ and His anointed. Now the kingdoms are falling on bended knee before the Savior who died for them. Now He speaks His word, and the hardest hearts of man melts. All of the images here in the psalm, it's the now that God is doing as He's come into our world. As He judges the world and establishes His kingdom and church among men, this is Christ's incarnational intervention in a world that's full of chaos, melting and shaken and broken. Christ is with us. Christ is with you. Christ is with us, not against us. And then comes this great chorus of the psalm, the Lord of hosts, the Lord of heaven, the Lord of heaven's armies. It's military language, the captain of our salvation, the God who acts very decisively to save is with us. We heard this earlier, and now we get it repeated. We will not be afraid, because the God of Jacob, the God who gave a blood covenant, the innocent one for the guilty, is our fortress, is that high place for us. Again, the plural we. And then comes the statement of God for us. He speaks now via the prophet, but God is speaking. Come and behold and see the works of Yahweh. Not just any works, but this is Exodus language. This is the Passover language. This is God delivering us out of the chaotic, changing, tumultuous, melting world and placing us in front of Himself and surrounding that little land of Goshen, His holy Christian church, big time. This is contemporary language. Come and see the saving acts of God, not just any work, but the work on the cross, the work in the empty tomb. So all of this quaking now is not because of sin, but it's the changing that God is making in the world and also keeping you steadfast. God is setting things aright through the gospel. And for the psalmist, this is the great image of hope. And so it is for us. God causes wars to stop. He breaks the bow and the spear. He will put on fire the chariots. Again, it's the wonderful image of their time back then. But it's also a biblical image, even for us today. The Bible's language states that all fighting will one day cease. And we know the fighting between us and God is over. God the Son has reconciled us to the Father and spilt His blood and brought you to Him via His Word. These images, these promises have their ultimate end in verses like Isaiah 2, swords beaten into plowshares, the wolf lying down with the lamb. Peace with God, God and sinners reconciled. And so the Christ comes, the promised one, so that a radical change and peace is given to us, and it appears before all men. And again, what does it mean when God is present with us? It means that only God and Him only can bring about this Prince of Peace. And so He says, be still. Well, that's kind of a soft language. He says, really, be silent in the midst of a chaotic world and know this, dear ones. I am your God. And all the voices of the devil, the world, and the flesh free, be silent as you hear and embrace the gospel. There's nothing to do. There's no running around. The comfort and protection from God are delivered to us in our midst through the gospel in the church. Isaiah 30 says, quietness and confidence shall be your strength. Faith and peace. Faith is being at peace in Christ with His word. It isn't about bows and spears and running about shields or chariots. No, it's about being silent and knowing God has saved you. And that's why he's exalted as he closes the psalm in your heart, in your life, in your mind, on your lips. And he will be known in the earth by his church. This is a wonderful psalm that tells us what faith does and what it really is. Psalms like this teach us about Christ. A psalm like this teaches us to pray. A psalm like this teaches us that the object of our faith is in God, who's our refuge given to us in Christ. A psalm like this teaches us he's present with us when all the world is turned upside down. Here we learn the cry of faith in spite of all earthly appearances. Nations, they rage. Kingdoms, they'll melt. You and I are dealing with raging and changing and melting on so many levels. So we need this God. And we also need this cry of faith to God by his people. And God's reply to faith's request, be still. Again, even when everything's falling apart, when things are supposed to remain constant, mountains, rivers, nations, at the end of the day, we cry out. And God says, be still. This being stillness is perhaps more than any other biblical language in the Old Testament. It's how faith is described. Trust is another word. But faith doesn't do. It isn't busy. She doesn't melt. She doesn't cower. Nor does she run away, because God is with her. He's by her side. So she can be still. Faith trusts this saving God in Christ. Faith trusts God that protects. God who speaks. God who feeds, who nourishes, who protects, who comforts, this God that we know will come again. And how our heart yearns within us. God is our refuge and strength. It just rolls off the tongue of the Christian so well. This is our cry of defiance. This is the cry of hope that we have in Christ, not only on Reformation Day, but the cry that we keep crying into our Lord's ears, until the Lord, your strength and your refuge, comes again to safely deliver you home. Again, where? Into his presence. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in time of trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. Be still. And know that I am God. Amen. In the name of Jesus, amen.